be with you all. I want to thank you right off the bat for your prayers. Can't tell you how much they mean to Kim and I. Thank you so much. The banquets are coming up. Really rough time for me to do this. You know, these banquets that we do, every ministry does them at the end of the year, you know, to kind of get out of the red into the black. You know, it's a time of giving and so forth, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and so everybody does their banquets. And you have to book these things a year in advance. You know, when you ask for these venues like the Hotel 1620 or the Fireside Grill, you have to book them in a year in advance because everybody wants to book them. So you got to book them and you got to sign a contract guaranteeing that you're going to pay for so many meals, more if you have them, but at least so many meals so they can cover their costs. So that way if someone calls and said, hey, can we have, you know, November 7th? They said, nope, it's already been taken, and I'm guaranteeing that they're going to get their money, like it or not. You know, it's like $5,000 for one. It's like almost $4,000 for the other. So anyway, I really didn't want to do these this year. Obviously, as you know, I was really not in the mood to, you know, call people and invite people and ask them to come and come to the banquet and support our ministry. So I haven't been doing too much of it. My get up and go kind of got up and left, as the song goes. But if you'd like to go, let me know. There's some contact information at the bottom. There's some newsletters up there if you'd like. And, you know, you can email me, call, whatever, if you'd like to come. It's a great time. And there will be some former inmates giving their testimonies. You know, people need to see what I do. I tell you stories about inmates. They're all true, and I know you believe me. But it's better when you hear it right from the horse's mouth. You know, when you can see the inmates that have gotten out, got their act together, and, you know, are walking with the Lord and so forth. One of the guys that's going to be there, Miguel, he's been out 7-8 years now. We helped him get his feet on the ground, helped him get a car. Somebody donated a car. He needed one. Needed some money to get it registered and insured. We helped him with that. So he calls me 7 years later and says, I'm doing great. You know, this is awesome. Walking with God, thank you so much. I'd like to send you a check and pay you back for that money. I said, you don't have to pay you back. That was from God. That was a gift. Don't worry about it. So I said, so how are things going? He says, good. No trouble with the law or anything? He says, well, I did have a little run-in with the cops. I said, oh, what happened? He said, well, I forget where he was, but he was somewhere. And some kid ran by and stole some old lady's pocketbook and started running. So he just, bam, dropped him and held him until the cops came. And so I said, well, that's good. That's okay. You know, you know, that was good that you were with the cops helping stop a crime. So anyway, he'll be there. It'd be great for you to come and meet him. If you can make it, let me know. I want to turn your attention to Matthew this morning, talk about prayer, because it's been on my heart a lot. And again, I want to thank you for praying for us. Honestly, there are times when you go through something like this that you can feel this peace that surpasses all understanding. And you know it's because people are praying, you know. And thank you. I really do. I believe that. And I thank you. And there are other times where it hits you like a tidal wave. But again, when people pray and God gives his peace, it's comforting. For those of you that don't know, you know, it was September 9th, Friday morning. We got a call, 6:30, whatever, saying they found my son's car down near the canal. So I said, well, you know, no big deal. Maybe, you know, parked his car there, went with his friends. Or he's with a girl or something, who knows. So then I get a call. That was from the Bourne State Police. Then I get a call from Barnstable State Police saying that they received 2 9/11s that morning at 6:30 or 6:05, 6:10 of someone running up a bridge and climbing over the railing. So that kind of alarmed us. And, you know, we just waited and waited, and no sign of DJ. Can't find him anywhere. So it was only 5 days ago, that they the state police called again because they're handling everything now. And they said, there was a sneaker that washed up in shore in Brewster. You know, could you identify it? You know, could you look at it and see if it looks familiar? And so I said, well, you can send it to Kim because I go to the gym with him. I've been to the gym 1,000 times with him, but I never really looked at his feet. I don't know what his sneakers look like. So she looked at it and said, those are his, you know. So he said, okay. And then they told us later on that, you know, part of his body was, it washed up on Brewster. And so now we had to go down and do a DNA to kind of run it. And so we went down, got swabbed, and got to wait like up to a month for this. But looks like, you know, that it was. We were hoping, you know, just because they found the car, you know, just because they got a video of a splash from the bridge. There's a motion-activated camera on the bridge, and there's a splash. And so you got a car, you got video of someone coming out of the car, running up the bridge, and then you got a, it goes out of sight, and then you got a splash. You know, we had Googled, Kim had Googled the site during the search, and they said there had been like 4 attempts that month alone. 2 unsuccessful, 1 successful, 1 pending, and at the time. And, you know, Kim thought maybe, you know, could be, it's possible, still could be someone else. So, yeah, it's possible. You know, we'll just wait and see. But like I say, it looks like that's it. And, you know, DJ knew the Lord. He put his faith and trust in the Lord. And, you know, he just struggled with, you know, mental illness, bipolar, had medications. And to be honest, there was a girl way back in, I don't know, he was 17. We homeschooled. This girl was homeschooled. She was only 15, though. He was 17, so they had to stay away from each other. And they just would email each other, talk on the phone every night. And the deal was when she graduated high school, they're getting married. That's it. And they just, you know. But something happened, and when she finished school, she said she didn't want to get married. So that was the end of that. And he just, you know, it really hurt him. He cried, and got angry. Something he really never could let go of. You know, he'd have a lot of, you know, episodes, anger issues, this and that. And when you got through talking to him, it always boiled down to this girl. Because it always happened around her birthday, the day they met, you know, this date they were going to get married. Every time these dates popped up, you know, he'd have a real hard time. He just really had a hard time letting go. And it just, you know. So there were probably 5-6 times that we had to commit him or section him for safety. Out of 15 years, I mean, it's not a lot, but it was enough, you know. There were certain times. And then he'd come out of it, he'd be okay, and he'd be good for a year or whatever, to, you know, till certain dates rolled around. But like I say, it just, he just couldn't deal with it anymore. And, you know, I believe, you know, he's not the first. And there are some things that just people have a really, really hard time letting go of. And it just plagues them. And, you know, that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to give things to God. You know, we really do. You got to give it over to God because, you know, life can deal some pretty bad hands at times. And you got to play the cards you get, you know. But anyway, it was pretty hard on Kim and I and family. So I just wanted to thank you for your prayers and talk about prayer today because it's really important. I want to notice what Jesus said in Matthew. We'll look in Matthew 6. When Jesus talked about praying in Matthew 6, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he said in verse 5, you know, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this, or in this way, or in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So you notice when Jesus says, in the beginning here, when you pray, it's not if you pray, but when you pray, Jesus is assuming that those who hear and seek to follow him will pray. And on that note, how you doing? How you doing? I know you're praying for me, and I appreciate that, but I hope you're praying for, there are a lot of other things we can pray for. Our country, the lost, to name a few, there are a lot of things we can pray for. Somebody made a statement the other day in Bible study, which I need to reiterate and quote. He said, you can tell how popular a church is by their attendance on Sunday. And you can tell how popular the pastor is by the attendance at Bible study. But then you can tell how popular God is at the attendance on prayer meeting. And everybody in the Bible study, about 30 of us, all took a hard hit because we realized, you know, prayer meeting is one of the least attended meetings that the church has. And this is where we're meeting with God. Forget the church. Forget the Bible study, the pastor. We're talking about the one we claim to love, honor, worship, adore, and have a relationship and call our Father who art in heaven. So I don't know what night you have prayer meeting here, but I want to say right now before we go any further, that when you go to prayer, you're going to meet with who? Your Father. Yeah, your Father in heaven. That should be a very high priority and a most needed in this time. You know, for the lost, for our country, our communities, everything. And again, he says ask and you'll receive. You know, it might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but it'll happen. Sometimes it is today. Sometimes it is tomorrow. I'll share a couple of episodes about that a little later. But again, he says, when you pray, again, don't be like the hypocrites. You know, I think I told you about that word in the Greek. Hypocrites is a word that was used for actors back in the day when they didn't have movies, but they had like a little half coliseum and they had, a theater production, people acting out a particular movie or whatever way back, 2,000 years ago, and the bad guy would have a bad mask, the good guy would have the good mask, and they'd have these masks and they would act out this play for the emperor and everyone else in attendance. And they were called, the actors were called hypocrites because it means one who wore a mask. And that word comes into our English language as hypocrite because it means one who wears a mask. So he says, when you pray, do not be like those who wear a mask. Why? Well, it tells who they are. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they can be seen by others. They're not really in tune with God, but they want to be in tune with with everyone else. And he says, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know, I hope you have a prayer closet or a prayer room or whatever, a time where you can get along with God. For me, it's not a closet. It's just basically it's in the living room. You know, I grab my coffee, I grab my donut, and I open my Bible. I let him speak to me, and then I speak to him. I mean, that's pretty much it. But I do it before everybody gets up, before the phone rings, the TV, before it, and nothing else. In the, you know, you're all alone, and you're with God. It's a good time to do it, you know, because, you know, in this day and age, you know, there are a lot of distractions that distract us. Again, they can be the phone, the TV, the kids, the, you know, the everything, you know, the social media, whatever. So try to remember, get alone. No Bible, no breakfast, no prayer, no power. You don't know that one yet. Okay, you learned something new today. All right, today we're going on with something new. Danny said something new today. No prayer, no power. So, again, try to get alone with God and pray to your Father. Again, when if you want to know how to pray, again, the disciples ask this in the parallel account of this in the other Gospels. They basically say, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he says, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father. So if you want to know who to direct your prayers to, according to Jesus, I'm not me, we pray to our Father who art in heaven. Now, it's not to say you can't pray to Jesus, Holy Spirit. I mean, I've done it. I don't know how many times I said, Lord, you know, but, you know, our prayers should be directed to him in the name of Jesus, but we should pray to our Father. Because remember, Christianity is not a religion. We're not talking religion. We're talking relationship. You know, remember, religion, I've said 100 times, is man trying to get to God. You know, you got people knocking on doors. Hopefully, if we knock on enough doors, we'll get to God. We got people bowing down to these 5 times a day, taking a trip to Mecca and so forth, doing all this stuff, trying to get to God. You got Mormons riding around on bikes, 2x2, again, trying to get to God. But Christianity, in stark contrast, is not people trying to get to God. It's God trying to get to us. He came down, took on flesh, and literally walked among us 2,000 years ago. And it's a relationship, again, where we don't just pray to God anymore. We pray to our Father who art in heaven, as you'll see. So, again, he says in verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Again, there are a lot of people at the jail that say, you know, is that talking about the Catholics? You know, they say the Our Father so many times and the Hail Mary so many times and this and that. And it says, look, I'm not here to bash other religions. I just preach truth. I'm just telling you what Jesus said, all right? Jesus said, don't use meaningless repetitions. You know, just say what you want to say. And on that note, he already knows what you need anyway. He knows not some things or most things, but everything. Can I get an amen? He's what we call omniscient. So, again, when you pray, you know, I think I've shared this before with you guys, but, you know, I think it's pretty true. There's this little acrostic, I think they're called, you know, where you get a little word, and each word, each letter has a thing by it. Acts, I don't know if you've heard this, I'm sure you have, some of you, but those of you who haven't, Acts, there's a book in the Bible, Acts, right after the Gospels, and if you look at these letters in Acts, A-C-T-S, you can use them as a means of prayer. The first one is A for adoration. When you come to God, the first thing you do, or should do, is adore him. Adore him. One of the first words I learned, you know, when I met my wife, I prayed for a godly wife. God gave me one. And her prayers would always begin like this. Father, I thank you for you. You know, not what you give me, not your blessings, not the car that I got, not the job I got, the raise or whatever. No, I just thank you for you. Because there's no one like you. No one. In fact, no one comes close. No one. And so you adore him and you tell him how much he means to you. And you think of the things he did, you know, in the Old Testament and New and so forth. And you're just reminded of how much he means to you. And so you begin with A, adoration. And then C, which follows in the word, is confession. As you're adoring God and realizing how awesome he is, you suddenly start to realize how awesome you are not. You know, and it leads to confession that I fall short of the glory of God. I'm not the person I think I am, or I want to be, or I could be. The good thing is I definitely ain't where I used to be, but I'm not where I should be. And so we confess, you know, our shortcomings. And again, we have to face our sins before we can put them behind us. And there's something worse than falling down. It's staying down. You know, you got to get up. You got to get up. You know, I was told this a long time ago. I never forgot it. You know what happens when a sheep falls into the mud? He gets up. You know why? Because he doesn't belong in the mud. But when a pig falls in the mud, he stays there. Because that's where the pig belongs. You know, as a Christian, when you fall down, not if, I say when you fall down, you know, you get back up. You confess your sins to God, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he takes away the guilt and the shame so that you can get back up again. You know, that's pretty much, you know, how you begin. Again, adoring God, confessing God, I mean, confessing your sins. And then as you realize what he did to take away those sins, you know, he came, bled and died, took our beating, shed his blood, slowly died on a cross to pay in full for our sins. The wages of sin is death. What did he do? He died. He paid for them in full. He bought all our sins with his blood and nailed them to the cross to take them away. Again, our guilt and shame and our sins. Not some, not most, not many, but all of them. Can I get an amen? Could you imagine if he only died for some of them and we had to be perfect from here on out? How many would make it? This is not hard. Yeah, nobody would make it. Nobody. He died for all of them. All of them. There's only one that there is no forgiveness for. That's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, which most every theologian and scholar believes is when you reject Christ, when you do not accept him as your Lord and Savior. You know, that's the only sin that is not forgivable. You know, you have to believe. You know, you have to believe. He provided a way. Not many, not even two. One way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father except by me. So he's provided the way to heaven through faith in his Son, who again paid for all our sins. So it naturally leads to thanksgiving. Again, you adore God, you confess your sins, and you're thankful for what he did. He took them all away. He took them all away. And your guilt and shame. And he's coming again. He's coming again. So you're thankful. And you tell him. And then the last one, the S in this acrostic, A-C-T-S, is supplications, which is just a fancy word for okay. Present your requests, you know. Present your prayers, you know, for the lost. You know, for those in our community, for our country. Family members, people hurting, sick. Present your request to God. Somebody said the shortest distance between a problem and a solution is the distance between your knees and the floor. That's not to say you got to get on your knees. I know some of you, if you get on your knees, you got to have a game plan to get back up again. Yeah, that, I'm with you. I'm there. You don't have to do that, but this is something old. I thought it was cute just saying it, all right? But again, the one who kneels to the Lord can stand up to anything. And like I said, the best time to get along with God for me is early in the morning. Is what Jesus did in Mark 1:35. Early in the morning, while it was still dawn, he would get up and go away and pray to his Father. You know, God should have first place in our lives, not second, not last. And again, the most popular time is not so much the church and the Bible study, but it should be the prayer meeting, because it's there you're meeting with God. Not that God isn't always with you, but it's where you really just concentrate on him. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want a religion. He wants a relationship. And he wants to get our attention, you know. And let me just say on that note, he will get your attention one way or another. He will. Because you're that important to him. I mean, think about it. He loved you so much that he sent his own son to die for you so he could have a relationship with you. That's how important you are to him. You may need to chew on that for a little while. So, again, if you're looking for an outline or something to try to remember, what do I pray, where do I go? Well, start with adoration, confess your sins, and there'll be new ones. You know, you don't have to do the same ones, though, unless you're struggling with something in particular. But, I mean, you know, there'll be new ones. Confess them, adore him, and thank him. There'll always be something to adore him for. He'll always do something. You can see him everywhere. I remember a little boy was coming home from church, whistling away and plucking things. There's a little poem. It all rhymes. And I can't remember the whole thing. But the gist of it was this. As an old man saw him, I said, "What are you so happy about, little boy?" He said, "Well, I just came from Sunday school and I learned about God." And it kept rhyming with these little things. But then he says, the old man says, "So I'll tell you what, I'll give you a dime if you can show me where God is." And the little boy, without even a thought, said, "Mister, I'll give you a dollar if you could show me where he ain't." You know, that was just a kid. That was just a five-year-old boy, you know. But he was thinking. He was thinking. So when you pray, a good rule here is when you pray, after you pray, to just be quiet and let God speak to you. It's good to pray with an open Bible, you know, when you can. Again, it's not while you're driving, but if you can do this alone with God, have an open Bible, because there'll be things that God will speak to you, you know. I've actually prayed for things with an open Bible and was reading a psalm or whatever, and all of a sudden as I looked down, bam, there's the answer. It's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. When it talks about the Bible is alive, believe me, it is. It is, and some of you know what I'm talking about. It's alive. It still speaks, even today. And I don't know how many times the answer was right in front of my face, you know, and you knew God was talking to you. Did I do something to this thing? I hope not. Right. So, yeah, be quiet, let God speak to you. Okay, man, should be